నిర్నామ నిశ్రేయసారథాయ అవ్యయస్యా ప్రమేయస్యా నిర్గుణస్యా గుణాత్మనః. O King, the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible and immeasurable, and He is untouched by the material modes, because He is their controller. His personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing the highest benefit on humanity. Report. Since Lord Krishna descends to benefit mankind in general, why would He neglect innocent young girls who loved Him more than anyone else did? Although the Lord awards Himself to His pure devotees, He is avyaya, inexhaustible, because He is aprameya, immeasurable. He is also nirguna, free of material qualities. And thus, those who intimately associate with Him are on the same spiritual platform. He is gunatma, the controller or original personality behind the modes of nature. And it is specifically for this reason that He is free of them. In other words, because the modes of nature are His energy, they cannot act upon Him. Om Agyanti Nidandasya Gyananjana Chalokana Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Veyama Vansha Kalpata Rubyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patithanam Havanivyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namo Ajanulam Vitabujo Kanakathavata Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambharo Vijaparo Yukadharma Palo Vande Chakatriyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. O King, the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible and immeasurable, and He is untouched by the material modes because He is their controller. His personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing the highest benefit on humanity. We have been reading from the 10th canto, 29th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Upon Krishna's playing His flute, the gopis of Vrindavan have detached themselves from the most difficult obstacles in the path of self-realization. Although the gopis were young, simple, cowherd girls, they had enacted a pastime which proved them to be far more exalted in the principle of renunciation even than the greatest of all the ascetics. It is very difficult to give up attachment to family. It is extremely difficult to give up attachment to the comforts of this body, to give up fear and the shame of losing all one's prestige and pride within society. Generally, it takes years and years, often lifetimes and lifetimes, of diligently following the regulative principles of yoga to even begin to detach oneself from these impediments which are lodged so deeply within the core of our hearts. But here we find, simply by the sound of Krishna's flute, these simple gopis immediately, without hesitation, totally renounced all of the affections of this body and this material world. Of course, there's a beautiful verse from the Garuda Purana. Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavasam gatopi va yasmare pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suchi. That by remembering Krishna, we become purified from within and without. Because the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is the object of meditation of all the great sages and rishis throughout history. In fact, great yogis of the past, they have gone to the northern part of India, the Himalayas, in order to practice absolute celibacy, fasting, giving up sleeping, enduring severe heat of the summer, severe cold of the winter, to keep one's mind fixed on the Paramatma, the Super Soul, Krishna within the heart. And very, very gradually does the inner spirit of detachment actually begin to take place. So Maharaj Parikshit is here inquiring. It is true that by meditating on Krishna, gradually this detachment takes place. But the gopis, they did not even have the slightest hint of an understanding that Krishna was God. They were not practicing some yogic meditation that Krishna was the absolute truth. They simply saw him as their lover, as the most beautiful and wonderful boy of Vrindavan. So Maharaj Parikshit is wondering, how is it that they appear just like ordinary young girls who had tremendous attachment and affection for a beautiful young boy, that they were able to completely detach themselves and enter into the highest spirit of renunciation we have ever seen. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually Maharaj Parikshit was himself a very highly elevated pure devotee of Sri Krishna. But there were various classifications of sadhus who were assembled for this narration of the Bhagavatam. And he understood that many of them, they did not have this faith and devotion in Sri Krishna. So for their sake, Maharaj Parikshit wanted to very emphatically bring about the true understanding of the nature of Krishna. You see, when such high-level spiritual subject matter is being discussed, one must be very, very careful of who is in the audience. We cannot simply indiscriminately speak without a thorough explanation. When our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, when he translated the 10th canto in his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he was discussing these very highly elevated subjects of Krishna's meeting with the gopis, he very, very painstakingly explained the nature of Krishna, how this spiritual romantic activity had nothing to do with the material modes of nature. Because he knew that the audience of the general masses, unless very systematically explained the nature of Krishna and the nature of this Rasa-lila, would surely misunderstand. And to misunderstand means to commit offense. Therefore, the truly learned acharyas, they will always present the subject matter of Krishna consciousness according to kala, desha, and patra, according to the time, the place, and the people involved. Even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very sensitive in this field. We find when he initially met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, or even with Prakashananda Saraswati, he was not discussing the intimate conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna or the Leela of Vrindavan. He was discussing Vedanta philosophy. He was establishing to them, first, what is the nature of the Absolute Truth, that the Absolute Truth is a person, that he has transcendental senses and a spiritual body, and his pastimes, his lila, are pure spiritual activities. In this way, very deeply on the basis of philosophy, he discussed the scripture with these great pundits. And we find when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, and he was meeting common people, some of them very educated, some of them very uneducated, he was not describing to them the higher rasas of Braj Bhumi. He was simply inducing them to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In fact, in his discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the ultimate conclusion of all his deep philosophical arguments was that they chant the Hare Krishna mantra, was that they take shelter of the holy name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, how many people do we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing these very high subject matters with? There was Ramananda Rai, there was Swarup Damodara Goswami, and few others. And at the house of Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they would exhibit very high symptoms of ecstatic love without restraint. But when he was chanting in the streets with ordinary people, he and his devotees, they restrained. They would not exhibit freely their symptoms of divine ecstasy. Because they knew the common man cannot understand them. Therefore, they would simply take it cheaply. And even unscrupulous people would try to imitate them as a sign of being a very advanced devotee of the Lord. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that you have to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that it is not taken cheaply. Systematically. For those who are not very highly elevated, basic discussion of the principles of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the chanting of Harinam is all that is required. In fact, it is all that is comprehensible. And through chanting the holy names in this sober state of understanding, gradually one becomes purified. And in a very highly purified state, one can enter into the ability to comprehend the divine pastimes of Sri Krishna in Braj Bhumi. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, there was a time not long, not too much before he left this world. He was in the midst of so many of his most advanced disciples and sannyasis. And he told them, I am simply waiting for the day when I can discuss this Vrindavan Leela with all of you. When you can actually become advanced enough so I could just unrestrictedly discuss Krishna's Leela with you. Prabhupada discussed Vrindavan Leela, but in a way that we would not take it cheaply. In a way that was endowed thoroughly with the basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And similarly, just as we were discussing the other day with some devotees, there were certain bhajans and songs written by very great and authorized acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada said, we should not sing those songs. Because the mood of the intimacy of divine love in which they were written should not simply be given to the general masses, nor should we sing them unless we have a very high state of spiritual consciousness. He wanted to preserve the dignity of the realizations of these great acharyas. And in a similar way, such great devotees as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, they were preachers who were aiming the highest philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toward everyone within society. They were truly the representatives of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Even Lord Nityananda Prabhu, because he was preaching to the general masses, who of course in those days were much higher in spiritual consciousness than today, he was basically preaching, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And just by this sincere chanting, you will enter into the highest leela of Vrindavan. But he was not discussing so much the highest leela of Vrindavan. In fact, Nityananda Prabhu was thinking that if we try to discuss the leela of Radha and Krishna, people will sorely misunderstand and take the whole thing cheaply. Therefore, what was his preaching? Vaja gorango, kaho gorango, laho gorange naamre, je jana gorango baje, say hi mora pranre. You just worship Gauranga. Take the name of Gauranga. And anyone who does like this is my life and soul. Because he knew that Radha and Krishna had appeared in the form of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And by thinking of Gauranga and chanting the name of Gauranga, whatever you invest in Gauranga is immediately accepted by Radha and Krishna, because he is Radha and Krishna. But Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared in such a way that could not be misunderstood. In Radha Krishna's Leela, we find the beautiful romantic love affairs between the most beautiful young girl and the most beautiful young boy. And unless we understand deeply their transcendental position, it will be very, very difficult. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a wonderful incarnation for this age of Kali, Radha and Krishna has appeared as a sannyasi, performing tapasya, and always chanting the holy names of Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu was the most expert and intelligent of all preachers in all of history. Because without any chance of people committing offenses, he has been giving them direct entrance into the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. By just chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they were in this mood of Lord Nityananda. The other day, one of our devotees was saying that in this Shikshastra, in the Guravastakam prayers, we are singing, Nikunja Yuna Rati Keli Sijai, that the spiritual master is assisting in the loving affairs of the groves of Vrindavan. The spiritual master, as the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the spiritual world, may have this divine activity. But in this world, the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. He is the original spiritual master. In this world, the spiritual master is teaching disciples in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu how to purify one's consciousness completely by taking the name of Krishna and understanding the basic principles of devotion. And through this process of purification, gradually, he can give us entrance into the divine lila of Sri Brajbhumi. Maharaj Parikshit, he was also seeing that the gopis' divine love for Krishna can easily be misunderstood to be something immoral or something extremely sentimentally understood. How is it that the gopis could renounce everything that is so difficult to give up in this world? There are such hard knots that are tied in our heart. And no matter what we do, it seems impossible to even loosen them, what to speak, free ourselves of them. But they were immediately able to give it all up. How is it that simply by loving a young boy, they could become free from all material attachments? He was asking like this. They didn't know he was God. And here Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the nature of Krishna consciousness. He is referring to the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, which he spoke, where Maharaj Parikshit also asked, he referred to Maharaj Yudhisthira. When he was speaking to Narada Muni, he said, how is it that Shishupal, he hated Krishna. He was so envious of Krishna. But yet, when Krishna killed him at the Rajasuya sacrifice, we have all seen right before our eyes that his spirit soul merged into the body of Krishna and attained mukti, liberation. Shishupal hated Krishna so bad. And how Krishna, when he wants to smash someone, he just goes right to the core of their heart and smashes them. When Shishupal was born, there was a prediction made that Krishna would kill him. And therefore, from his very infancy, the first thing that came out of Shishupal's mouth was he was braying like an ass, terrible sounds, blasphemies of Krishna. He hated Krishna. And every time he would hear about Krishna's glories, it would just be intolerable. When he would hear about Krishna killing all these demons in Vrindavan and about his beauty, and so many people were celebrating him, and Shishupal was his cousin, and all the family members, they simply loved Krishna. And for a conditioned soul, when you're envious of someone, to hear that person being glorified is incredibly painful to the ego. Therefore, Shishupal made it his business in life to simply try to discredit, blaspheme, and shake people's faith in Krishna. But then at one point, somehow or other, his mind was a little bit diverted away from blaspheming Krishna because he was completely, madly infatuated with love and lust toward Rukmini. And the brother of Rukmini, Rukmi, he was very much inclined towards Shishupal. So he arranged for his father to marry Rukmini to Shishupal. And it is described in the Bhagavad that Shishupal, he was mad, just absolutely with lust and attachment. He was mad in so-called love for Rukmini. And he was so much happy that he would take her hand in marriage. And just at the beginning of the marriage ceremony, Krishna, his worst enemy, the person he hates, came and stole away Rukmini. And all of Shishupal's demoniac associates, they all attacked Krishna, and Krishna defeated all of them. Shishupal practically, he already was insane, but his insanity increased unlimitedly. When Krishna wants to purify you, he knows exactly where it hurts. He will do that to his devotee. Rest assured, it is a matter of time. Wherever your attachment is most deeply rooted in the heart, Krishna knows right where to go to sever that attachment. That is his mercy. And it hurts. When you want to tear the roots of a tree from the ground, it hurts very much. Krishna goes right to the root of our material life, purifies us. This same Shishupal, you can imagine after this, he just vowed millions and millions of times over and over again he would get revenge on Krishna. And ultimately, after the Rajasuya sacrifice, when everyone was present, Krishna, he was blaspheming because Krishna was given the highest worship of the greatest man in the world right in front of Shishupal. He was blaspheming so bad he could control himself. He lost count, and Krishna effortlessly severed his head with Sudarshan Chakra. Why such a demon attained liberation? Shukadeva Goswami explains, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by thinking of him, simply by remembering him, even in this state of consciousness, you become purified. And the gopis, they were on such a high level of consciousness, they had already transcended these preliminary stages of self-realization, of understanding God as the absolute truth, understanding Krishna as the cause of all causes. These ideas became an obstacle in the purity of their love. Therefore, by the curtain of Yoga Maya, Krishna covered this detail that he was God. In Vrindavan, whether Krishna is God or not is a detail. The main thing is that Krishna is our lover, is our object of total surrender. O King, the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible and immeasurable, and he is untouched by the material modes because he is their controller. His personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing the highest benefit on humanity. Is there any questions?
What do you mean by Gopi Bhav? Is it the feeling of utter surrender, or is it the feeling of conjugal love associated with utter surrender?
Gopi Bhava is the realization of Madhurya Ras, which is a state of consciousness far, far beyond total surrender and total detachment. It is not something you could imitate. Either you are in that realm of consciousness or you are not. By total surrender and by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master, such high realizations are revealed to us from within the heart. Any other questions?
Maharaj, in Naimisarana, even the sages, the conjugal love was awakened in their heart when they saw Lord Ramachandra. So why was it like the same affair? It had to be young, beautiful girls, especially other people's wives. Why for this realization, highest love, why it had to be this young girl? Is that the reason why there is so much of misunderstanding? Like the same conjugal love, it was also there in the sages' heart. Now, they were just sages, but they were very embarrassed to express that. But for that same thing, why was it, for that same love, why it had to be young, beautiful girls? Why it had to be other person's wives? For this Madhurya Leela, why is it?
Why does it have to be?
Yep.
You're asking?
Yes.
These subject matters you cannot understand. Theoretically, the difference between Parakiya Rasa and Swakiya Rasa is simply a higher degree of surrender. There's no risk in loving your husband or your wife. But what a degree of surrender it is when you are risking everything, your home, your family, your everything, for your beloved. You really have to love. You really have to be willing to endure and undergo anything to please Krishna in that sense. So therefore, Parakiya Rasa is considered the most ultimately intensified and most ultimately satisfying rasa to the soul, because it is the rasa of the highest degree of total, total surrender for the beloved. And therefore, this subject matter is not to be cheaply discussed. In fact, Jiva Goswami, he saw that for the general people, this Parakiya Rasa was so much misunderstood. And unscrupulous people were even thinking that they could imitate this Parakiya Rasa as a form of bhajan or sadhana, that he put more emphasis on Swakiya Rasa, that Krishna was married. Therefore, we must know the dignity of the gopis, that they understood that Krishna is eternally the husband of all living beings, that everything is meant for his enjoyment. They did absolutely nothing immoral. If anyone dares, without this realization, to have any type of parakya relationship with any other being in this world, that person is the most despicable and degraded. But the gopis, they were surrendering to Krishna, who was the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer of every living being. In fact, we will read in the future pages of Bhagavad, Krishna sent the gopis home. And at that time, they came down to a lesser platform of philosophy. They actually took some steps down to be philosophical. And in this philosophy, they explained, how can you tell us to go home to our husband? Who is our husband? You are the only husband for all living beings. You are the only enjoyer of every spirit soul. You are the proprietor of everything that exists. The bodies of our so-called husbands or children, they are all your property. Their soul is part of you. We're not doing anything immoral. In fact, people who are not totally surrendering to Krishna are doing things immoral. Their whole life is immoral. They're thieves. There was absolutely nothing immoral in the gopis' activities. This you should understand. And if you ask why, it is Krishna's lila. You cannot understand why. Until your consciousness is perfect, pristine, and absolutely pure, no one can understand why. Krishna is perfect and complete, and his lila is perfect and complete. Yes?
Doesn't Jiva Goswami describe a marriage between Radha and Krishna someplace?
Yes.
So they were going there in their spiritual bodies. They were going to see Krishna in their spiritual bodies.
For the gopis, there was no difference between their material bodies and spiritual bodies. They were totally surrendered souls.
The physical body was still there lying with the husbands.
Some of them. Only those who were not allowed to go. The others, they left with all bodies. Any other questions?
Maharaj, in the context of liberation of Shishupal, according to Bhagavatam, you said that all the princes, King Yudhishthir, they all saw that when Lord Krishna killed Shishupal, his soul merged with Lord Krishna. his soul merged with Lord Krishna. Now, does that mean that he became one with Lord Krishna?
That means he was liberated. There are different types of liberation. Primarily four types of liberation. One is when we enter into the body of Krishna, it is to be understood that Shishupal, he was liberated completely from this material existence. And to merge into the form of Krishna means to become one in quality. We can never become one in quantity. No one can become God. Shishupal did not become God. But he entered and he merged into the existence of God. This is mukti. This is liberation. But a devotee of the Lord doesn't care for this liberation. This is the liberation awarded to demons. To enter into the impersonal existence of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, they want to enter into eternal loving pastimes with the Lord. We are eternally his servant. So no, he did not become one with God. He simply was liberated from material existence by merging into the existence of God. When you enter into the sunlight, you do not become the sun. Do you? He was taken out of darkness and put into the sunlight. But no one can become the sun. Krishna is the source of everything. Any other questions?
The original plan was that they take three births as demons. Then they would go back to their position. But isn't this Jagga and Madai the same?
Yes.
Is that like a fourth, maybe spontaneous or something was it? Amended.
Jai and Vijay, after taking their three demoniac births in the form of Shishupal and Dandavakra, they were restored to their position again in Vaikuntha. They were liberated. But then, upon seeing the divine advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wanted to come back down just to assist in their pastimes. So they accepted, again, by their own free will, let us become demons again. We'll do anything to associate with this beautiful form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So you see, the first three, they were cursed against their will. But when they heard about the beautiful divine form of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they volunteered to enter into Narasingadev's Leela, or Varahadev's Leela, or Ram's Leela, or Krishna's Leela, to be demons and killed by them. It took being cursed. But for Mahaprabhu's Leela, they immediately volunteered. Yes, we will go. Because we know that Mahaprabhu will not kill us. He will simply give us love of God. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padaya. Because they knew that Mahaprabhu is the most munificent and merciful of all incarnation. So they wanted to receive that mercy. Thank you very much. Huh? You are already. Really? We are associating with his devotees. We are chanting Hare Krishna. Jagayan Madhai was willing to come to this world to become demons just for the opportunity that is given to all of us today to just be amongst Mahaprabhu's devotees.